Thank you, Ron, for if we could just get Ron enthusiastic. Maybe one day he'll be up there. Thank you for reading and praying the scripture and preparing our hearts. I want to present to you a message that I think is very relevant to our church. It's entitled Elephant Strongholds in Jesus. That might be more understood after the message. But I want to share with you that just an initial thought is that we in a mainline church like Shalimar, 68 years old, sometimes we can make church more complicated than it really is. Can I get an amen for that? I knew some of you felt that way. And we need to take action to make what we do less complicated. Because there's a great deal at stake. We have just heard a word that what does it profit a person to gain the whole world and to lose their soul? And that's a bottom line question. And we know that is a truth of Jesus that we need not skirt around, because all of us will give an account of our life one day, and there will be nothing more valuable in this world than our soul. And as a church, there is nothing more important that we do than to reach out in the name of Jesus to minister and tend to the souls of this community and this region. That is why we're here. So the soul Jesus gives us in this teaching is why we are here. And it's simple. It's not complicated. One of the benefits of a storm is that it teaches us to get less complicated. Those that have been through hurricanes know, and I've been there, you can simplify church when the situation calls for it. And you can simplify it in a hurry. And you can do the gospel and meet the needs of Jesus in a much more simplified form. It's not complicated. And that is one of the values of a storm. It brings us to our knees. And it helps us see some truth that otherwise we might not have seen if everything would have been going the way we thought it was supposed to go. The storms, like hurricanes, are one thing. The storms of life are another. The storms of life may be more difficult because we don't know when they're going to end or if they're going to end. And they can bring us to our knees in a different way. I thank you for your prayers for Karen and me over the last 2 months. We've been through a storm, going through a storm. And we know that Jesus is going to meet us on the other side of that storm. He's walking with us. And we thank you for your prayers and for your concern. It means so much in this time. Some of you are going through storms of life. And I pray that this message will speak to you, that you not only can get through this storm, but you can get out of this storm stronger walking with Jesus. It's not that complicated. Some storms come by our own doing. And those are maybe the most difficult. But even in those storms, Jesus will walk with us, bring healing, restoration, forgiveness, and he'll help us to come out on the other side stronger. So this sermon on the surface may be a bleak message, but please hear. It is just seeking to reach out where some of you are and reminding us of the hope of Jesus to walk with us through the storm and to come out victorious on the other side. Speaking of the storms of life, I knew a married couple. They had been married a while, and I asked them how their marriage was going. And the bride said, "Well, it was raining the day we got married, and it's been storming ever since." And some of you may feel that way about your life right now. There's hope. I want to also mention another possibility in the storm is that we turn away from Jesus. And that has consequences. Just a little crack in the door gives the evil one room to come and have his way with us, to bring discord, to bring fear and the worst in us. Just with a little crack in the door, we leave ourselves open. So it is significant how we go through these storms and that we turn to God and walk with God to come out stronger on the other side. Now, these teachings that you heard Ron read are powerful. The first teaching was about if you find life, if you lose it, you'll find it, and if you hold on to it, you'll lose it. And Jesus is speaking about a total commitment here. And if we will surrender to Him and commit to Him fully, we're going to find life. We're going to find it more better than we ever have before. Even if it means a dramatic change, we're going to find life is better than it's ever been before. He also says, what does it value a person to gain the whole world but lose their soul? It's an important question for us. And there is nothing in this life more important than our soul. And Jesus wants to tend to our soul. He wants to save our soul. He wants us to be His witnesses and reach out and help touch and bring the souls of others to Him. That's why we are here as a church. We have a corporate soul as a church, and we need to always watch over that. That is one of my responsibilities, to look over the corporate soul of the church and make sure we're preaching and teaching the right things. Because that's what this church is here to do, is to tend to the souls in this community and region. It's to reach out for the lost souls in the name of Jesus Christ. That's what we're here to do. Nothing else matters but that in the end. A second teaching that I wanted to share in addition to the scripture readings today is from Hebrews 11, chapter 1. In my office is a plaque that I've had for a long time, and this is actually a photo of this plaque. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And that is a message for us. We are a people that walk with God through faith. And the human condition wants to fight against that, but this is who we're called to be. People of faith, walking with God, though we don't know what the future holds, we know He holds the future, and we walk day by day in faith. This is as true as anything we'll ever hear, that we walk by faith, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. A few weeks ago, they were doing some work on Meg's Road, paving and repaving, and there was heavy equipment out there, and it was causing the church office building to vibrate. In fact, the wall started vibrating. And my wall started vibrating, and this plaque fell off the wall. Faith hit the floor. And I thought, I've got to do something about that. You cannot let your faith hit the floor. Even if you're going through a trial, a test, a storm, don't let your faith hit the floor. Pick it up, hold it up, turn to God, see how He's leading you in this journey. Maybe you didn't expect to be in it, but He's leading you. He wants to lead you. He's tending and wants to tend to your soul. And then there's the teaching of the Good Samaritan. Church is not complicated. We make it complicated. But Jesus told this parable that there were three scenarios in this parable. A priest and a Levite walked by this dangerous track, this road from Jericho to Jerusalem. Dangerous. And they walked it and they saw this man left beaten, half dead, maybe dead. Maybe they were concerned over religious matters, touching a dead person or someone that was unclean. There might have been some religious leaders why they kept going. But we know the point that Jesus is making here. The obvious people to help walked by. And this is what happens in our culture today. The obvious people walk by. And we can identify with this priest and Levite, can't we? But to make Jesus' story even more unbelievable, it was an enemy of the Jew, a Samaritan, a despised Samaritan, it says, that stopped to help. And not only help and bind up the wounds, but to offer assistance in getting to a place where he could get better. And not only stopping there, but then saying, this is what I have today to give to you. I'm going to come back, and if there's more, I will pay that. It's an incredible story of Jesus pointing out, meeting the obvious need in front of us. Church is not complicated. Our church, like any church, can become distracted from the obvious. We can even be distracted by our own doing. And there's an expression called elephants in the room. We're perhaps familiar with that as people are talking about things. People maybe have some background chatter going on. And it distracts from the primary reason that we are here. Now, the elephants in the room, they're human beings being human beings kind of reasons. We might talk about church attendance. We might talk about funding. We might talk about a variety of things. But what I'm here to say today is that the elephants in the room, whatever you need to do to work through those elephants in the room, we need to work through it, but we don't need to let those elephants live. We need to seek Jesus Christ in what we're doing. Let those elephants, put them in perspective. That's human beings. That's the human being way. But God wants more of His church than that. And so we're called to learn from our criticisms. We're called to learn from those matters that communication didn't happen. But we are ultimately called to be witnesses of Jesus Christ and tend to the souls. To tend to the souls of this community, to tend to our souls, and to be a church where this is why we're here. It's not real complicated. We make it complicated, but it's not real complicated. Secondly, there are some strongholds we need to acknowledge. Now, if you look in the biblical teachings, there are two types of strongholds. There's the strongholds that are good, and there are the strongholds that are bad. The strongholds that are good, they are making God our stronghold. A stronghold is a fortress. And the psalmist calls it like a cleft in a rock. It's a safe place. It's a place of refuge. It's a place we can go, and God is with us. That's a good kind of stronghold. Let me share with you one of the psalms where this is this term stronghold is used. Psalm 99. The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. This is a very strong teaching. If we're in a storm, God is our stronghold. He helps us. He is there to be strong for us in the most difficult of circumstances to go to the other side. So this stronghold is good. I want to share with you in addition one other word about this stronghold that's good. This church, for many years, sang a song. And some of you will remember it. When I was the associate pastor here from 1983 to 1986, we sang it every Sunday at both the 8:30 and the 11 o'clock services. And it was a song of affirmation. The first song of Isaiah, taken from Isaiah and the Psalms. And it goes like this, and some of you will remember it. Join in if you'd like. Surely it is God who saves me. I will trust in him and not be afraid. For the Lord is my stronghold and my sure defense. And he will be my Savior. Do you remember that? You just don't want to sing it, right? Did you hear that word stronghold? It has been sung in this sanctuary, in this sacred space for years. We need to claim it. There's also a stronghold that's bad. And that's the stronghold that the devil brings, that little crack in the door. If we leave ourselves vulnerable spiritually, if we turn away from Jesus, leave a crack in the door, he can come in and bring a stronghold. And this stronghold is tough to break. In 2 Corinthians 10, there is another passage that talks about this stronghold. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And that's the good news and the hope. If there is a stronghold in our life, if we've been putting too much emphasis on ourselves, if we have turned to everything but God, this stronghold can be broken by the power of God, whatever it is. And perhaps someone here today has a stronghold, and that's the word you need to hear. It can be broken. That crack you've left in the door, it can be broken. The power of the evil one can be broken by the power of God. In closing, Jesus is the one who brings peace to the storm. He has the power to calm the supernatural, as his disciples said. Look at this man who can even calm the storms. And he can calm the storms of life. And Jesus will teach us, as his disciple, to stay in a life that is filled with him. Like the parable of the Good Samaritan. And we will be given opportunities this week to respond as Jesus to other people that need us. It may be a glaring need that we walk by. It could be a subtle need, but everybody here is going to walk by a need this week. How are we going to respond to it? Like the priest and the Levite, walk on by, or will we seek to be as Jesus? And will we seek to make it not complicated, but will we respond simply and nimbly, quickly? Can we respond this week? This would make our church so much stronger so quickly if we can just make it less complicated and if we can see how Jesus is leading us each week and do something about it. It's that simple. It's not complicated. I was visiting with Craig Carter this week, who is the pastor of the Lynn Haven United Methodist Church in Panama City. We're longtime friends. He was sharing with me, and by the way, there's an opportunity to help them next week. They're celebrating, celebrating's not the right word, they're commemorating the 1 year of Hurricane Michael and their congregation. But Craig was very honest in sharing with me, and this may surprise us, but Lynn Haven's a much stronger church today than it was before the storm a year ago. He was telling me how they were always strapped financially. They were entangled with so many different things that were not that important. And the storm, the good thing about the storm, it simplified their thinking. And they have had so many amazing things happen in the way of transformation. And it happened because of the storm. And I'm saying to us, it's not real complicated. God can use the storms in our life to bring good. We wouldn't want to go through them. But when we go through them, God can use them for good. And so today, there's great news that if you are in a personal storm and it looks like it was getting the best of you, walk with Jesus and you can not only make it through that storm, but you can come out stronger on the other side. Church, we go through trials too. We can walk with Jesus, and we can come out stronger on the other side. And maybe it's even storms of our own making. Amazingly, Christ walks with us, and we can come out stronger on the other side. We're going to close in just a moment with the Connect team leading us, and we're going to be asked to join in. It's a simple song, but so powerful. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. That's what I want to invite you to do. There might be a person here who the first thing said in this sermon about what does it profit a person to gain the whole world but lose their soul. That's what you heard today, and you know it's time to give your life to the Lord. Fully or for the first time. Maybe you've left that door cracked a while and it's time to shut that door, and Jesus is actually knocking on the door. He wants to come in and be with us fully. It's a time to renew. Maybe there's some other need on your life. I want to open up the altar for prayer, for any commitment you have to make to the Lord. And we're gonna sing this song spiritually and be reminded of our need of Jesus as we sing.